From the creators of Relevant Magazine, this is the Relevant Podcast. And I want you all. Friday, May 24th, 2019, and it's the Relevant Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Strangan. Here with me in our Orlando studios on the ones and twos, our illustrious engineer, my brother, Chandler Strangan.
Hello.
7 minutes of intro for him. On the Skype line from Loverland, Virginia, Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
All the way from Nashville, Tennessee, our senior editor, Tyler Huckabee.
Hey, everybody.
And joining us all the way from Orange County, California, author, speaker, and pastor, Bianca Olthoff.
Good morning, buenos dias. Hello, hello.
It's Bianca, great to back have you. By popular demand.
For
the
real.
People, the people have been demanding this.
I don't know if they can handle what I bring, though, because here's the thing. Also, my best behavior episode one as co-host. Today might be my last. So I'm going to go out with a bang, y'all.
Bring the heat. Go down in a blaze of glory.
Also, we did record the last one. It was like 7 a.m. West Coast time. She was sitting on her bedroom floor. It was just very odd surroundings. Now she is dressed. She is in her kitchen. It is the middle of the afternoon. She is fired up.
That's right.
Oh, we're ready to go. And we have the green juice.
Green juice. Of course.
Yeah. Wow.
Hey, before we get going, I want to tell you that today's show is brought to you by Squarespace. Whether you need a landing page, a beautiful gallery, a professional blog, or an online store, it's all included with your Squarespace website. Creating a site with Squarespace is a simple, intuitive process. You can add and arrange your content and features with a click of a mouse. You can even design a best-in-class online store with Squarespace's award-winning templates, customizable settings, and more, all without a single plugin. I hate those plugins. Including all the tools you need to track inventory, process orders, and send custom emails in one intuitive interface, Squarespace Commerce allows you to understand every aspect of your business. And right now, Squarespace is offering Relevant Podcast listeners a special deal. Go to squarespace.com/relevant for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your site, use the offer code RELEVANT to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. I've built countless websites with Squarespace, and I think you should too. All right, we have a great show in store for you today. Coming up later, we talk to Irwin McManus. He's the author of the new book, The Way of the Warrior, and he'll discuss the importance of self-care while also trying to make an impact. What he does not discuss is his sneakers. We didn't ask him about his sneakers.
I didn't preacher
know.
Sneakers.
No, I didn't but his friends. This was pre-preacher sneakers.
When the I will happened. Say this, though. I think he gets somewhere of a pass because Jerry Lorenzo is like his pastor. And he's like Jerry Lorenzo's pastor.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure he's been gifted his, Nike Air Fear of Gods, his hard to come by Nike Air Fear of Gods.
Don't let him off the hook. We'll get him on here. He can answer for himself. We need to give him an out before he even shows up on the podcast.
Okay. Also, at the end of the show, you don't want to tune out. You don't want to tune out and go, wow, Irwin is great. Let me just click stop now. You don't want to do that. You want to stay tuned because at the end of the show, we have a game.
That's right.
It's called Screen Saved.
That's
Jesse,
right.
What's it about?
So, listen, it's that time of year. It's blockbuster season. Everyone's heading to the movies, watching their in-games, their Professor Detective Pikachus, what have you. You know, for some of our listeners.
I would watch Professor Pikachu.
I want to watch Professor Pikachu.
You guys get that.
I want Detective Pikachu's sequel to be Pikachu's just old. He's looking for 10 years. He's trying to.
He has elbow patches now. He's got glasses.
Yeah. It's basically the plot of God's Not Dead with Pikachu in place of Kevin Sorbo. The hardened atheist Pokemon who meets who meets his match when he gets taken to court.
Stupid.
In a battle for the religious soul of America.
Back to the game.
Okay, going back to the game. It's ironically, I mentioned God's Not Dead 2 because, listen, there's a lot of entertainment options out there. But our listeners want wholesome choices. They want stuff that safe for the little ears. So what I've done is I've compiled the ultimate trivia game involving Christian movies and TV shows. And listen, this game is so hard. Bianca, I want you and Tyler to be on the same team against our listener. And,
oh, we're pulling a listener.
Okay, here. It's going down. It's going down.
Like
it's time to be savage.
Tyler, you're pretty good at like trivia and stuff, like trivia nights, aren't you?
I do. I go to trivia on Tuesdays, but I'll be honest. Most of the trivia nights I go to are pretty light on the Christian cinema theme. So I don't promise that I've learned a lot from it, but I've been covering this for a long time.
I was a homeschool pastor's kid, so I got you, Tyler. I got you.
Two homeschool pastors. Pastor's kids.
Yeah, you're both homeschooled. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, invincible. Oh, we're going to slay. We are going to win this.
Bianca, catch us up. What's been going on in your world since we last talked to you?
Well, since we last spoke, I actually went in and had 3 conferences in Lubbock County jail. And this is the fun part. You know, you never hear the stories of transformation because you go in and you're just not too sure what's going to happen to a lot of these inmates. Well, I got a chance to go back. And this time we went to a halfway house that was sponsored by a local church there in Lubbock, Texas. And I got to connect with an amazing woman by the name of Bridget, who when I first met her 2 years ago, that was the first time I was there, we prayed because she was like, I'm getting transferred to federal prison and I don't want to go there. You know, I want to reunite with my daughter. I want to get right. Da, 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 da. And she was having a lot of issues with the local guard there. Long story short, we prayed. And I firmly felt, I rarely say this, but I firmly felt like she had a God encounter. Wow. Well, she was transferred to a local prison. She was there for less than 72 hours, transferred back, was released probably 8 months later on good behavior. The first, she got out on a Thursday. On Sunday morning, she went to a local church. Lo and behold, who did she sit next to in church? The prison guard that she had an issue with. They wept, they embraced, she got baptized, she's reunited with her daughter, and she got to meet her granddaughter for the very first time. Like, those are the stories you don't get to hear, you know?
That story's awesome.
So,
That should be a Christian movie. That is incredible. Yeah. That is an awesome story. That is awesome.
Oh, it's so heartwarming. What a sweet story. Oh, I had no idea where that was going.
Pure flick.
I kept thinking that we'd reach the happiest part of the story, and then it went to another level. I went to another. Like a Russian doll.
And she rode away on a unicorn with a leprechaun on her shoulder.
Pure Flix, listen up, y'all. Get the rights to that story.
It literally did just get better and better as the story unfolded. I'm like, oh, this is great. This is great. Oh my gosh. You know, that is incredible.
It's like one of those Twitter thread stories where somebody just, you know, writes one of those super long.
Every single one, your eyes get wider and wider.
Yeah. I also noticed, because I follow you on Instagram, that you're doing a singles night at your church this weekend, huh?
Y'all. Okay, so listen, it's at my daddy's church, and it's in LA, and he asked me, he said, hey, I'm just seeing so many single people come to church, whoop-de-whoop, I think we should have something, and that's my jam, I love it. So I said, sure, Dad. I called a couple friends, hey, will you do this with me? But this is what I'm saying, and I can't communicate this to any sane, amazing single man. If you come to my events, you are bound to hook up with a date, because literally, I think I don't know how many people are going to be there, but as of right now, registration is 70% female.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, that's what I figured.
70% female. Man. I'm just like, y'all, like any great single guy needs to come to my church, needs to go to my daddy's church. Any event that I hold, I did like a whole dating premiere. We screened a movie and I had the director fly out for it. Like, it was so great. Wow. You want to know how many men showed up?
Yeah.
We packed out the theater here in Orange County, Irvine Spectrum. There was 450 seats in this theater. We had one guy show up.
Oh my gosh.
One guy. What? And you know what? I thought in my head, I'm going to do a hookup here. Because my husband and I, we had our very first date at a Starbucks there at Irvine Spectrum, right across the movie theater. So I bought a $100 gift card and a $20 Starbucks gift card and gave it to him. And I said, hey, if any smart woman in here, I told him, I said, look at all these amazing women in here. I'm giving you a date, $100 gift card here to Yard House, $20 Starbucks gift card.
Wow.
Go ask somebody out. Do you know he didn't ask a room of 449 females
useless.
Out?
Useless.
He didn't go out one person.
Useless.
Kick that guy out of the church. Excommunicate him. Yeah, get him out.
That's not right. He doesn't. Yeah. The Lord hasn't done a good work in his life.
Literally, I'm like, you guys, where are all the cowboys gone?
That's the question.
We're gonna hear that. Yep. We're gonna look at the demographic. We're gonna look at the breakdown of this episode, and people are gonna stop listening because they're going to be trying to find that Bianca. They're like, what's her name now? Bianca Ulta? I can go to an event.
I feel like there are listeners right now who are like, I got to get to this event. These events are incredible. Where can they go to learn about
these? It's in Los Angeles, the 25th. It's by the time this airs, I don't know if people will hear it, but I'll give you a follow-up, Cameron. I'll text you and let you know the demographic after the conference.
Okay, but yeah, this will be out on the 24th. So if you're in Southern California, you can make it. Go find Bianca on Instagram, and there's a link to register.
Buy a ticket to LA right now. Get it. You'll be out there, you know, but it's overnight. Red eye flight. Red eye. You can get there.
I was just curious. I was just curious because like my church is young and stuff, but they don't have like singles nights or anything like that. And I was like, I would never go to something like that. Like I can't. So I was just curious. Like,
oh my
who shows
God, Cameron,
up?
You're acting like it's a mixer. It's a gathering for singles and it's from 9 to 12 in the morning. It's not like people be like, hey, yo, baby, let's hook it up.
Yeah.
I do not want to do a singles mixer because that's creepy. I would never go to that.
Yeah.
But it's a conference. Like, honestly, I want to give people practical handles on like the 10 dating commandments, how to not be an idiot, and I'm doing like a 10-minute TED talk on sex.
Ooh. Okay, can you give us a preview of the 10 dating commandments?
Oh gosh. Okay, so one of them is have your friends do like a VDS. I call it a viable dating score. And there's only three questions for that viable dating score.
Okay.
Does the person you're interested in love Jesus?
Right.
Are they responsible in all areas of their life? And that could be like physical, financial, emotional, spiritual, whatever. And then your friends give you an honest assessment on a scale of 1 to 10 of where they think that you're at from like the totality, your health, your physical, your emotional. Yeah,
I'm glad those questions weren't around when I was on the dating scene because I barely got one of the three. We're pretty sure you love Jesus. But I got to be honest, your responsibility and you definitely your mental, emotional and physical health have a lot lacking right now. So I barely got one of your three.
Jess, if we were friends and a friend said, hey, I think it'd be great for you to meet with a counselor because I don't know how emotionally stable you are. Like that's real talk and that's love. When I asked my friend, now thankfully I was already married when I asked them this question, but they gave me on emotional stability, they gave me a 3. Ooh. And these are my best friends that I've known for 10 years. And I want to be upset, but then like long story short, I went to on-site because I was in a tough season.
Yeah.
And I'm not a 10, I'm not fully balanced, but I'm praising Jesus. I am a 3, that's for sure. But what happens is we take like highly emotional people, highly damaged people, fractured people, heartbroken people, and we put them together and we wonder why these relationships don't work.
Yeah.
I'm sold.
I'm telling all my single friends they need to get out to this thing because I need them to go and tell me all this good information because I feel like this is probably good no matter where you are in life. But you know, obviously,
true,
I can't go to single
thing,
but I will send someone. I'll send like a designated single note taker, and I will make sure that they will at the very minimum love Jesus. Though most of my friends don't meet those other two qualifications, so I will send them though.
So the fact that this is at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning on Saturday, it's going to be difficult for people, even if they download this right when you post this on Friday afternoon. It's going to be difficult to get there. But if you go, if you're listening and you end up going, let us know. I want to know how it is.
I do too. Yeah. I do too. I'm excited to hear back from somebody will talk to us about what
somebody's
happened.
I want to know
the inside scoop. I want to know the scoop. I've got a picture in my head.
I'm so scared now.
If there's 449 women and one dude again. That's crazy.
I do want somebody else to give us a review. We don't need to get into it now, but I want someone else to give a little review, a summary of the 10-minute sex talk that you give. I want to hear an outside perspective on how that goes.
That's the relevant podcast After Dark.
Hey, we need that music. Remember that gigolo music that was
It's about to happen. All right. Well, actually, that's a perfect segue. It's time for
it's the hot list. The hot list. It's sizzling.
Chandler, can you just change the vocals and give the file to Bianca so when she comes on stage, it's like, it's the sex talk. 10-minute sex talk. Just 10 minutes sex talk.
I hate that song so much. You guys, I cringe
it sounds
so 1970s inappropriate film.
It's really
you can just slap my vocals in there, Chandler, doing the sex talk lyrics. And Bianca, that's our gift to you.
It's time for the hot list, our look back at what's happening this week in culture, faith and culture. Coming coming in at number five on the hot list, Chance the Rapper is buying 10 fans groceries for a year. He recently dropped the single Groceries from his upcoming album and announced that he would select 10 fan-made dance videos that use the song and give their makers free groceries for a year. The first winner is a college student named Taylor McBride, who posted a video alongside her 18-month-old son. She told Inside Edition, "I was just so excited. I didn't even tell anyone around me. I was with my sorority sisters. I texted my family right away. You guys, I'm about to cry. Like, this is so crazy. I was just so ecstatic and just a bunch of gratitude. I was just overwhelmed with gratitude because God is just good." Here's a clip of Chance's song, Groceries.
Thank you, Lord. Remember eating dinner, kitchen drawers full of sporks. I was always wanna try to go over my aunts. Sugar in the refrigerator right next to the ants.
All right, so now, if y'all want to get some free groceries, post videos on Instagram of you dancing to that song, and you got a shot. So there you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Coming in at number four this week, Rachel Held Evans's book, Searching for Sunday, is back on the New York Times bestseller list following her passing away on May 4th. She's still making an impact on culture. Following an outpouring of messages of remembrance on social media, many new readers are discovering the book that Rachel wrote about wrestling with and ultimately embracing the church. In the book, she writes about the importance of being a part of biblical community of believers. She said, "Imagine if every church became a place where everyone is safe, but no one is comfortable. Imagine if every church became a place where we told one another the truth. We might just create sanctuary." That was it. Imagine if every church became a place where everyone is safe, but no one is comfortable.
I think that's really cool because I feel like she was somebody who was widely discussed, but not as many people had read her as would talk about her. A lot of people have formed opinions on her based on hearsay and things they read on Twitter and other people's opinions about her. So I'm glad, especially Searching for Sunday, which is, I think, the best thing she wrote. That's a really, really great book. If you're listening to this and you haven't read Rachel, that'd be the best one to go pick up right now. It's an excellent book.
And the outpouring of support is really moving to see. I mean, even, you know, Hillary Clinton, tweeted her condolences and, mentioned how much of an impact she had made in her life. And, you know, so it is really cool seeing that her work continue to make an impact on the body of Christ.
And not only that, I love that her work now is being like a bridge between more of the progressive and more of the conservative. Like, this is one thing that we can all agree on, was her heart. And sometimes people's hearts get missed in the middle of controversy or differing opinions, but we all can stand back and say she gave her life for the furtherance of the gospel. And on that, I'm grateful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure.
Coming in number three this week, when I see this filmmaker's name, I always think of Tim Gunn from Project Runway, but it is not. James Gunn. This week opened up about being fired and rehired by Disney and reflected on the power of words. James Gunn, not Tim, is the filmmaker behind the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise. And he was fired as the writer and director of the third installment of the series after some years-old crass Twitter jokes resurfaced that he had done. He apologized for the twisted jokes from his past, but hasn't said much about the saga since. Eventually, Disney rehired James Gunn, not Tim Gunn, after an outcry by the cast, and now he's speaking about the experience. He told Deadline this week, "I don't blame anyone. I feel and have felt bad for a while about some of the ways I spoke publicly, some of the jokes I made, some of the targets of my humor, just the unintentional consequences of not being more compassionate in what I'm putting out there. Disney totally had the right to fire me. This wasn't a free speech issue. I said something they didn't like, and they completely had the right to fire me. There was never any argument of that." He also grappled with how getting the franchise taken away made him realize how much he'd been using it as a substitute for real love and connection. Don't we all use Guardians of the Galaxy as a substitute for real love and connection?
Guilty as guilty.
He said, my apparatus for being loved was my work and being famous. In order for me to have fully felt that love for the first time, the thing that needed to happen was the apparatus by which I was feeling falsely loved had to be completely taken away. I had to make it work." No, he didn't say that last part.
Yeah.
That was Tim Gunn. Sorry.
I feel like that it was really cool to see him not, you know, being a martyr for, you know, free speech or, you know, he made some really inappropriate jokes. He said some stupid stuff in his past and he owned it. And, you know, I think ultimately he's trying to personally use it for good and realize, like, you know, sometimes until something's taken away from you, you don't really fully appreciate how unhealthy your relationship gets with it. So it's cool to see him, like I said, not really play the victim here, but saying, look, man, I made a mistake, but he's at least he gets a shot at redemption.
Absolutely. And I think he had more leeway than a lot of people do to say, like, hey, you know what? That was a long time ago. And these people bringing it up are being a little petty about what happened. I think he had the excuses that a lot of people had, but he didn't use any of those excuses. He just went right for the, which it's easier to do when you're given a shot at redemption. But I think it's still very admirable that he owns up to the fact that those were bad things to do. That was inspiring. And hopefully more people, especially public figures like him, take a lesson there.
What do you know what year it was that the tweets were from? I mean, but like my tweets from like 2009, like early Twitter, nobody knew what Twitter was. So my tweets were like going to dinner.
This was like 2012, 2013.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And he was trying to do like an Anthony Jeselnik type of thing. Like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with that comedian, but like he says, like, basically, he has like an onstage persona that's intentionally offensive and mean-spirited, but it's almost like he's portraying a character. Like it's like Steve Carell's Michael Scott isn't actually like that ignorant, but in his character he is. And I think Gunn was kind of going for that, but obviously he was incredibly misguided because that doesn't really translate on Twitter, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so, not good. All right, coming in at number two this week, Selena Gomez spoke out about the dangers of social media this week. The singer and actress knows a lot about the pressure of social media. She's one of Instagram's most popular users, boasting more than 150 million followers.
Wow.
Holy cow.
Same. Extremely half, same.
I was going to say.
Of the U.S. population.
it's hard. I was going to say, me and Selena Gomez are really power users. I mean, between the two of us, we have 150 million followers. Believe
that's cool. That's why it's cool. It's inspiring for people like us to see, you know, at that level of somebody else speaking out for people like us who,
oh my gosh, you know,
biting the hand that feeds. It's a risk, but wow, it's worth it.
Well, while at the Cannes Film Festival, she told reporters about why she's become so selective in what she posts. She said, for me, I like to be intentional with it. It just scares me. I see these young girls at meet and greets. They're devastated, dealing with bullying and not being able to have their own voice. It can be great in moments. I'd be careful and allow yourself some time limits of when you should use it. I think our world is going through a lot. I say for my generation specifically, social media has really been terrible. It does scare me when you see how exposed these young boys and girls are. They're not aware of the news. I think it's dangerous for sure. I don't think people are getting the right information sometimes. Gomez has long been vocal about her perspective about social media as well as her faith. Back in 2017, she gave her testimony at the Hillsong Conference in the form of a letter that she wrote to her younger self about God's love. She said, "You'll learn that your truest identity is loved and chosen as the chosen daughter of God. Selena, you are enough, not because you've tried hard, but because you've loved hard or put on your best face, not because you have been given a large platform and not because others tell you you are enough. You are enough because you are a child of God who has been pursued from the very beginning. You are enough because his grace has saved you and covered you." Selena Gomez, everyone.
Wow.
Man.
Good for her. I mean, again, someone who has an incredible perspective and, you know, in light of a platform that's massive. And it's good to see her kind of using it for good.
Okay. So I don't want to be the naysayer because I love Selena. I think that she's great. I think that that perspective is, you know, I have a 13-year-old stepdaughter who, you know, loves following Selena as well. And what does that say about me? Both her and I love Selena. Anyway, I feel like coming from Selena, it's just like, she used words like devastating. She used words like dangerous. She said social media is terrible. And I want to be careful that we don't throw the baby out the bathwater for a couple of reasons. Number one, I don't think anyone's going to read this article or hear her say these things and all of a sudden have an awakening moment like, oh my gosh, I am spending 8 hours on social media. Because at the end of the day, so many people would love to have her following. The second thing that I'm just a little leery of is, I don't know. I love social media. And I feel like I know for a fact, because I worked at A21, she used social media to generate not just information about A21 and education on human trafficking, but raised funds. So it is devastating. It is terrible. It is dangerous. but it's also freaking awesome when we can have a rapper holler at POTUS and have the president of the free world chirp back as Snoop Dogg. We have leveled the playing field of the proletariat. I mean, we literally have direct access to people that we never would have had because of social media. So it is dangerous and it's terrible and, you know, whoop, whoop, whoop. But if we keep on saying that, we're going to make it feel dirty. I feel like there's a lot of positives to it. And she demonstrates the beauty of both.
My concern is watching documentaries recently and stuff on Netflix on the impact of Gen Z.
I love that documentary. You know, that was so good.
It's just like so eye-opening about the self-esteem issues, the anxiety, the comparison trap that they grow up in because about the likes and the followers and the bullying and stuff. I think that's what she's referring to. And that is the dark side of social media for the younger generation. I mean, to me, it's, are they mature enough to be able to handle it?
Yeah.
And that's the scary part is it's getting in there in the formative years and kind of rewiring their brain and their self-esteem, you know?
And I mean, it's just like anything, like understanding boundaries and moderation, you know, because it's any like good thing or sort of like, you know, neutral thing can become a very, very bad thing if it takes like a unhealthy role in your life. So, yeah, I use social media every single, not a day goes by that I don't use it. And I don't feel like I have an unhealthy relationship with it. So, yeah, I think you're right, Bianca. There is like definitely a case to be made that, look, it's capable of a lot of good. But understanding that moderation, you know, is important, especially for people who are younger.
Poet laureates Nice and Smooth in their early 90s rap, Sometimes I Rhyme Slow, did say, too much of anything makes you an addict. That line has stuck with me through my entire life. Too much of anything makes you an addict. And I'm like, well, too much water would just kill you. But, you know, like, I get the point.
Too much the spirit of it.
I get the spirit of it.
Nice and Smooth.
Yeah.
All right, coming in. Number one this week on the hot list. Sia. My goodness, led worship at Kanye's latest Sunday service. In a series of clips shared by Kim Kardashian West this weekend, the pop superstar sang worship lyrics. I mean, she said, "Lift up your voices now, sing praises to our God for all the things he has done," from the Psalms to the music of her song Elastic Heart, along with a gospel choir. On Twitter, Kim explained, she said, "There wasn't a dry eye in this room today." Here's a clip.
It definitely like made me want to go to the Sunday service even more. This one was like inside their house.
Me too.
They said it like rained, and so they like pushed everyone inside. And it reminded me like when I used to go to youth group, we used to meet in like the gymnatorium of like an elementary school across the street. And that's what the vibe of this was. It looks like they're just in like Kim and Kanye's massive like 25 car garage, just jammed in there with Sia randomly like standing on a chair singing. I'm here for it. I think it's awesome.
I'm ready for these to get even weirder. You know?
That's again how you boost your attendance at the singles mixers. Get Sia to lead worship.
Listen, I'm about it. I'm like, hey, come over and do Sunday worship at our church, okay? Because the last time I was on the show, DMX opened and Sia just blew him out the water.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
true.
Bye.
Oh, yeah.
DMX was actually terrifying. Let's be honest. He was shouting a prayer. And he was doing it DMX style, which is, God, I believe for your blessing. Yeah, I mean, it was terrifying. It was, where are my dogs at? I don't need to be frightened. I don't need to. Sia was much more welcoming. I appreciated that.
I'm hoping that it keeps getting more and more eclectic. Like every time we revisit what's happening with the Sunday service, it's somebody new and it's like, oh, I didn't know Kanye even knew that person, let alone that they'd be interested. Like next time Guy Fieri's just up there singing a song, throwing out cheeseburgers to the crowd, whatever it is, Guy Fieri.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Just like the loaves and fishes. Yeah.
Just vats of donkey sauce. Somehow he multiplied the donkey sauce.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question about this. Have you guys seen or read any negative pushback from like air quotes, like non-Christians leading worship and like feedback and thoughts on it?
on our comment section. Our comment section, never
read relevance comments on Facebook. Just we posted the thing and then the venom comes out. It's horrible.
Yeah. I gotta check in because I feel like it's kind of a responsibility. You know. It's a responsibility.
What are the crazy people saying today?
My job. If I didn't have to do it, then I obviously would not do it. And my therapist is aware of this. That's what I have to tell him when we sit down and talk about this.
Because I look for people saying kind things about me. Otherwise, how do I feel validated? Like I have self worth. You know? I mean, I want to be healthy here. Come on.
I'm reading these comments from people online discussing the concert and, you know, we shouldn't have non-Christians leading people and what are they saying, all this other stuff. And like, I can say this, I always thought maybe I was just like way too liberal, but now as a pastor, my husband and I are leading this church, I am so blessed that the worship of God is coming out of the mouth of air quotes pagans, because God can use anyone and anything to bring light and shed light, revelation, dare I say, to anyone who's listening. And so what Kanye is doing, maybe in the most untraditional, weird, maybe even out of some people have said heretical, he's bringing glory to God in a way that no one else can, and reaching people in a way that no one else can. So I'm like, yes and amen. I'm about it.
I completely agree with you. I mean, that's my thing. And we don't know that Sia is not a believer. I mean, like, right? did she, you know, just because she sings secular music doesn't mean that she didn't grow up in the church and have a relationship with the Lord. I mean, we don't know. But yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, the Lord can use anybody he wants to, you know, spread truth and bring glory to himself. And I mean, I agree with you. Like, Kanye's gathering people that probably wouldn't have gone to a traditional church service on Sunday morning. And it sounds like, seems like that the presence of God is there and he's being uplifted. And when I hear these songs, like early on in the Sunday services, like the songs I was hearing were gospel choir style, but it was like, he's got the whole world in his hands. You know, it's just kind of like, church adjacent kind of, you know what I mean? But it seems like the lyrics are getting more and more worship, and like the songs are getting, like, it seems like it's getting more and more Jesus focused. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, every week. Agree. It's interesting.
Yeah. Even when we posted this on the site, we posted another clip that Kim Kardashian West had shared, where one of the choir members like stood up and started preaching. And it was a very Jesus centric message. I mean, it repeatedly used the word Jesus and, you know, affirmed, you know, that Jesus is the Son of God. Like, it was very gospel centric. There was nothing kind of weird or off about it. If I ever do go to the Sunday service, though, I am sneaking a shofar in. You better believe it. And no one's ready for it. No one's ready for it. You know, Kanye, DMX, Sia, the whole gang's up there. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like this slow, dramatic build.
A rogue shofar.
From the back, from the back corner of the field. And while I'm getting tackled by Kanye and Kim's security, I will be blowing it all the way to the ground. You know, get it out! You know, I think that's what they need. Is I'm going to be legit honest right now. I'm kind of shocked there hasn't been more shofar. There hasn't, as far as I know, these have been shofar free. Whenever I've seen like an outdoor gathering of people singing and worshiping, someone snuck a shofar in. No one asked them to, but they snuck it in.
We're
and they
just
blow
a couple
thing.
Weeks away from it, because there's already tambourines. Then it's going to be praise banners, right? And then it's going to be the shofar.
You got to have the banners. Yeah, when I was at, I said this on the podcast a couple years ago, I was speaking at the Jesus Culture Conference, and I was looking at the thing, and in the upper balcony in the back corner was the designated little area for the praise banners, because Banning didn't want it like in the front. So they're like, you can do that stuff, but you have to do it in the back where nobody can see you. And then sure enough, there were rogue shofars kind of scattered throughout the
smuggled in.
Like, they put it in their pant leg or something, you know what I mean?
It's
like,
no one asked.
It's not a small instrument, so you can't just walk through the front door.
Wait a minute, do you guys not know about pocket shofars?
No.
Like a shofar whistle.
Is it like a telescope? How does it work? From Israel that are engraved. I'm going to send you guys the link.
Yes.
We were in a creative meeting, and our worship pastor was like, you guys, hold on. And it's from Israel. It's like, you can, there's like sheep heads and like landscapes, like engraved into this shofar, and it comes in various sizes.
We have a listener a few years ago sent us a shofar. It's I would say it's a medium small. I mean, it's a this
in my mind
big.
It's like yeah,
it's right? It's not pocket size.
It's pretty cool.
It's like a coach bag. You could put it in a coach.
It's a travel shofar.
You
know? Yeah. Like if you know, it's not your main one, but if you're traveling, obviously you're gonna bring a shofar.
That's right.
You bring the mini toothpaste and you bring the medium. You know, you can
carry on shofar. That's exactly what it is.
You could smuggle it in a trench coat, but then you're wearing a trench coat, and that's weird. Like nobody wears a trench coat. So what are you gonna do?
Yeah, I do like the idea of praise flags though, because that the security guard's like, why do you have a big flag with a shiny dove on it? Oh, obviously it's the other guy's got the flame one. So we're just gonna kind of do like a little routine.
The flame one.
Yeah, you gotta have a flame. You gotta have a flame. You gotta have a dove, and then you just have one that has a some name of God on it, and you just wave them around.
That's right, Yeshua or something, or Emmanuel. Like, and it's like cut out letters that are like sewed on. The 90s. Maranatha era of the church was very interesting. Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
It was the most anointed era, Cameron. Don't get it twisted.
But Kanye's like disrupting church, right? Like he's just doing it by his own rules. He's disrupting it for a good way. That's why I think, we need to reinject some of what was great in the 90s. Like, and the other, I've said this before, I don't know why this ever left the church, where the guys and girls sing at different times. Blessing and honor. I want that at Kanye's. Because I've said this before, but my favorite thing is...
You're doing the Ron Canole? Is that the Ron Canole?
Hey, well, no. This is the one they used to do. This is the one they used to do. Some reason, and I've said this numerous times before, for some reason, every guy in the congregation is like looking down the aisle at each other, trying to sing like five octaves lower. They're like, what was the big one that was...
In the round?
All honor...
That's
all power,
more of you and more.
Now the ladies,
all honor.
Here's the reason why I don't want to go back to those days, Jesse, is the fact that, like, what about girls who don't talk or sing high? So I like singing the male part because I can't sing that high, and then I sound like Ratchet in the back, like
imagine what it would be hypothetically. I don't know this person personally, but imagine what it'd be to be like a guy whose voice didn't change till pretty late in life, and I'm sitting there singing all honor, all power, getting made fun of. You next time just blowing a shofar and blowing, you're ruining the whole song. Take it away.
Hey, we're too woke now. Gender roles, you can't
bring
have men versus
women. I don't think you could split it up. It's alto sopranos.
Sing
we're
where
not
you
want
to sing. It's just it, you know? Just where you feel led to sing, jump in on that one. That's
it was fine. Hard enough when it was in youth group because the guys didn't even want to be singing. Like, it's not cool to be singing when you're a 13-year-old. And the girls always sound like they were trying out for the praise band. So it's like,
more power.
More of you. Can we just wrap this up? Can we wrap this up and get to the pizza part?
All right, that'll do it for.
It's the hot list. The hot list. It's sizzling.
I weaponized shofar blowing too many times to
when it happens, Jesse, when you get dragged out of Sunday service, we're going to report it on the site, but we will have to disavow all knowledge. We'll have to be like, area man dragged out of Sunday service. Some weirdo snuck in.
And we're rogue shofar blower. All right, stay tuned. Up next, Erin McManus joins us. You're listening to Tones and I, not me, the band is Tones and I. The song is Johnny Runaway. At the beginning of the podcast, you heard Omar Apollo with So Good. In his latest book, The Way of the Warrior, pastor, author, and speaker Erin McManus says that we won't be able to tackle the issues in the world around us until we've dealt with our own issues within us. In a conversation with our very own Tyler Huckabee, Erin talked about the importance of embracing failure, how taking a different mindset can transform your whole reality, and how finding peace in your own life can help you bring peace to the world around you. Tell us about it, Tyler.
Yeah, so this was a great conversation. I do like talking with Erwin whenever we get a chance to. And this book in particular is a really interesting one because it sounds like he's kind of moving into his, I think he would say this too. I don't mean it as a slight, as an elder statesman who's trying to pass the torch, preparing to pass the torch to the next generation of Christians. And he had some things he wants them to know, particularly about taking care of their own mental health. And prioritizing that in addition to the things in the world around you, all of those issues. So, for example, one big one that he was very, very interested in was the idea of owning defeat and understanding that sometimes you're going to make mistakes and not to try to get around those. He actually had an interesting story about what that might look like. And here's what it was.
I remember years ago sitting in a room of young executives and a huge event fell apart. And I said, I need to know. And I was brand new. I need to know who was responsible for the outcome of this event. Every single person in the room said, not me, not me, not me, not me, not me. And at the end of it, I looked and I said, okay, I need you guys to go find the person responsible for this failure. Because that's the person I want to hire. Because really, you don't belong in this room. Because if you're not the person responsible for the failure, you're not the person who can actually bring change or improvement. And there's this intimate relationship between what you take ownership of and how powerful you are to bring change in your life.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was an interesting story, especially because if Erwin McManus asked me who messed this up, and the answer was me, I don't know that I would be like rushing to explain that was actually me. Although now that I know that there might be a job in it, I potentially would. But I think that is something, it's an anecdote that you hear a lot or sort of a truism that you need to learn to accept failure and failure is part of life. But it's one thing to believe it, another thing to really live it out. And it sounds like he did that in an interesting way here.
Yeah. And I feel like it is like a message that you don't hear like a whole lot, like, you know, success and everyone wants, you know, I think it's good to like champion, you know, wins, but recognizing, look, hey, this failed. This is who is responsible, but this is how we can correct it. And the next time, I think it's good. I think that's a very good thing to address. Mm.
And I think that was a huge part of not only just our conversation, but his book as a whole, is the importance of just shifting your perspective on things like defeat and like failure. Learning that having a different mindset about these things, a different take on them, can end up changing the rest of your life, your whole reality. He explained a little bit about that in this next clip.
I was in a psychiatric office by the time I was 12 years old, you know, and I remember that's the first time I looked at the ink blots, and they show you this picture and they tell you, what do you see? And the one that's probably most famous or infamous is the bat and the butterfly. You know, do you see the bat? Do you see the butterfly? And what you see allows the person working with you to see inside of you. Because it's not about what's actually on that board. It's your perception of reality. And your mindset creates your perception of reality. And if you don't if you don't take ownership of your mindset, if you don't begin to look for beauty and wonder, if you don't establish a posture of gratitude, you will never find the strength to create a different kind of life.
I think that's really helpful. And I think it's something that it's easy for me to lose perspective on, particularly easily is to not have that attitude, strike those postures of things like gratitude in particular, because it is really easy to accept the most cynical position when things happen, and trying to take control of that through things like your emotional and your mental health is something that was very important to Erwin. Obviously, he's talked a lot about that with regards to some of the issues that he's dealt with with a lot of the hardships that he's faced. But I think it's tough for all of us. And this book has a lot of tips on how to take that to the next level, to change, to take control of your mindset.
What's interesting about that, and Cameron, it reminds me of the unedited conversation you had with Joel Houston, which I feel like people should need to go listen to that if they haven't already. But like one of the keys to like recapturing the wonder is to start to look for it again. Because when you really are intentional and start looking for it again, that's a lot of the times like that shift in your mindset allows you to be more receptive to it.
Yeah. Thanks for the plug.
Yeah.
It is a good plug.
You're welcome.
That was an organic plug right there.
Yeah, it was true. I mean, literally when he was talking about it, like came to my mind, like, oh, that's kind of...
I was literally sitting there listening to Erwin talk. I'm going, I didn't know there was a bat on that. Like, I didn't know that that's what the kind of the two main things that you see are.
Oh, really?
I thought it was like, do you see a blotch or do you see a butterfly? I didn't know that the people see bats. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not crazy. I'm sorry. If you see it bad, I'm sorry. I'm not saying it's crazy.
Yeah.
That was eye opening to me. I didn't know that.
You just have a negative outlook on life and are unhirable by Irwin McManus. So
that's how they do their applications for their internship program at Mosaic. Just what is this?
Yeah. Own a failure and see a butterfly. And you're in.
Make sure you see a butterfly. It's simple as that. But that's something, it is actually kind of reminiscent of that issue of Unedited we're talking about, that last episode of Unedited, because I think that what we really came down to, and we talked about this a lot, Irwin and I did, is this idea that that it's so easy, I think, especially for younger generations, millennials, Gen Z, to get so caught up with the many issues in the world around us, the many important issues, that we can neglect to take care of the issues that we have ourselves. And Irwin's point, something that he was very, very adamant on, was that you need to prioritize what's going on inside of you. He explains a little bit about why in this clip.
If you don't deal with the stuff inside of you, it will eat you away and it'll end up consuming your life. And I think a lot of times what happens is that our drive for social issues to be activists is almost like a drug of choice. We're trying to ignore what's going on inside of us. And so we're trying to solve a human problem. And that's why we have so many people who are 26 years old and they've already burnt out. They're 29 years old and they're already at the end of themselves. And so what you're talking about is not a conflict of interest. What you're actually talking about is you can't give the world long-term what you do not have. Mm. You cannot bring life to the world if you're not alive. You cannot bring wholeness to the world if you're not whole. You're going to end up using that cause to try to numb your own pain. And I'd rather have you go try to change the world from a place of health and wholeness.
That thought of you can't give out what you don't have, like that is really powerful.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a hot take, because I think it'd be easy to construe that as being sort of selfish, as being sort of narcissistic. But I think that his point is that if you really want to help, if you really care about these issues that you see in the world, make sure that you're trying to address them from a place of health and wholeness and inner peace, and you'll be much more effective than if you're trying to use them to fill that need you have, that a neediness and a drive to just make a difference for making a difference's sake. So there's a lot more of that conversation in the most recent issue of the magazine, which is also on the website. You can find irrelevantmagazine.com, and his book is called The Way of the Warrior. It's excellent.
What are you doing? You're doing my job. That I do the wrap up. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just had it written down here.
My goodness. Such a pro solid. Right there. In case you didn't hear Tyler, what he just said, make sure to check out our article with Irwin McManus and the current issue of Relevant.
Can I add one quick thing to that? I know we you can see that at relevantmagazine.com and pick it up at newsstands everywhere. That's all. That was just why we're going
to
throw that in.
Thanks, Jesse. I appreciate that. I did forget to say that, Jesse.
Next up, it's our game, Screen Saved. And guess what? Bianca's back. Stay tuned. I prayed all of my love to you. I prayed all of my love to
you. Can you feel it? Maybe sometimes you wonder if the Bible still matters. Maybe sometimes you wonder if a personal relationship with God is really possible. You're not alone. That's why Ravi Zacharias put together The Logic of God. This devotional offers 52 profound readings explaining how and why Christianity, the Bible, and God are still relevant, essential, and life-altering. Not only does Zacharias lay these out in a weekly format, but he makes profound biblical truths easy to understand. Whether you're struggling with questions and doubts, confused, curious, or just want a clearer way to express your faith, The Logic of God has answers that satisfy the heart and the mind. For a limited time, Relevant podcast listeners can save 40% off The Logic of God using code RELEVANT at bit.ly/logpod1. You look so alive, tell me, do you ever care? Well, I know you got something in your blood that we don't share.
You're listening to Eider. The song is Woo Baby. Okay, it's time for Screen Saved. Jesse, give us another brief recap of what Screen Saved is about, and then we will introduce our contestant.
Yeah, listen, it's that time of year. It's blockbuster season. Everyone's going to the movies during the summer, filling their minds with just questionable entertainment choices. This game is based on wholesome entertainment choices. It's a trivia game about Christian TV shows and films.
I like it. All right, so, joining us to play against the combo team of Tyler and Bianca is listener Ty Hill. Welcome, Ty.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Ty, where are you calling us from today?
I'm calling from Fishers, Indiana.
Fishers, Indiana. What do you do in Fishers, Indiana?
I'm a student pastor at a church here in town.
Interesting. Oh,
yeah, I've been on the podcast before. I was one of the listeners of the week.
You're double dipping.
That's right.
I think that's a first.
Yeah. First double dip. Well, Kiki Pounds has been on a couple times.
That's true.
So, Ty, you're trying to catch up to Kiki Pounds on the double dip. Good for
that's
you.
That's right. I said in my DM that I was trying to get my Relevant Magazine Infinity Gauntlet and get in all of it, because I've actually been on the Love and Money podcast as well. So,
super fan.
Next thing you know, I have to have you on unedited for a long form conversation where you
there
bear
you go.
Your soul.
And then when Andy gets me on, I'll be in great shape.
Yeah. An hour long deep dive into the question, who is Ty Hill?
Yeah. And to the question, basically, who hurt you? That's essentially where we end up. Yeah.
Cover up the mag before you know it.
Yeah, cover the mag. All right. So, Ty, you are going to be playing against, they're just teaming up. This is going to be a massacre, man. Tyler and Bianca are teaming up against you. Jesse, tell us the rules. You're going to say what?
I will read a question and you will get multiple choice answers. Each team has four. There's no tiebreaker. So Cameron, that means the last round might count for more depending on who's down.
That's right. That's right. Okay. All right. So first, we'll let ladies go first. So Bianca and Tyler, are you fair with that? Are you good with that, Ty?
I'm great with that.
Okay. All right. First question. Go ahead, Jesse.
Okay, Bianca and Tyler, which one of these is not the name of an actual End Times film? Okay, I'm sorry. Which one of these is the name of an actual End Times film? Only one of these is an End Times film. Here we go. Apocalypse 4, Judgment. Mark of the Fallen One, 6, Cry, Cry Again. Tribulation 2, The Other Side of Darkness. Revelation Force 3, Agent Zero, or End of Days 4, Prognosis Negative. Only one of those is an actual apocalypse film.
Bianca, do you have a hunch?
Oh, man. Can you say those really quick one more time?
Apocalypse 4, Judgment. Mark of the Fallen 1-6, Cry, Cry Again. Tribulation 2, The Other Side of Darkness. Revelation Force 3, Agent Zero, and End of Days 4, Prognosis Negative.
I want to say Tribulation to the Other Side. Tyler, what do you think?
I don't know the answer. I do not know, but that was my hunch too. That was also
are talking to the girl that did read every book in the Left Behind series. Oh, so my final answer is going to be the second option that you gave us. What is it? Tribulation 2, Behind the Other Side or something like that?
Tribulation to the Other Side of Darkness.
Okay. The Other Side of Darkness. That's my final answer.
I'm sorry. The correct answer is Apocalypse 4, Judgment. Cameron, do you know what all those other names have in common?
No, I don't know.
They're all fictional movies from Seinfeld. Prognosis Negative.
No.
Agent Zero. The Other Side of Darkness, where Kramer went to the Cobra. How could you forget? Cry, Cry Again.
You threw me with the 6 and all that stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, like, it's a tricky game. Yeah. That's a tricky.
There was so many numbers I got lost. I'm sorry.
I was on the exact same page, Bianca. I was right there with you.
It was a very layered game.
Yeah. Ty Hill is up.
All right, Ty. Ja Rule once starred in a Christian dating rom-com. Believe it or not.
This one, Jess. Come on.
All right, Ty. What was it called? Here are your choices. Psalm 99 Problems. See You at the Crossroad. Cross is capitalized, you should know.
That's funny.
I'm in Love with a Church Girl. Or Put Your Hands Where My Heart Can See Them. Ja Rule in one of these nine. Was it which one? Psalm 99 Problems. See You at the Crossroad. I'm in Love with a Church Girl. Or Put Your Hands Where My Heart Can See Them.
I have a guess.
Oh, man. I have to go. I feel pretty confident about this one. I think it's the second one.
See You at the Crossroad with cross capitalized.
The one I'm dating a church girl. Sorry.
I'm in love with a church girl.
Yeah.
I'm in love with a church girl. Yeah.
Yeah.
You are correct, Ty. You take the lead.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I knew that one, guys. That's not fair. Jess, throw me one of those.
Ty, just practicing for unedited. What'd your dad do when you were growing up? What did he do for a living?
He worked at a steel mill. Well, he still works at steel mills. So.
Interesting. Oh, steel mills.
Salt of the earth type of guy. I like that.
Okay. I was just practicing for unedited since you're going to...
There you go. Yeah, exactly. So we'll be ready.
Be prepared to delve into information about your Enneagram number soon.
Right.
Okay.
Deep, dark hurt and that I'm an Enneagram 5. I'll be ready to talk about it.
All right, please do.
That's why he's got a lot of information.
Hey, Ty Hill, are you single?
No, I'm married.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yes.
I was going to tell you about a great conference tomorrow morning that Bianca's hosting.
See,
if you leave Indiana now. I interview him in front of 449 single women. So, yeah.
Well, there you go. That sounds like a dream.
All right. Okay. Second question.
Okay. This is for Bianca and Tyler. And some of these are kind of long, so I'll probably only do one read on these. So play close attention here. Which one of these is an actual... Well, you know, I'm not going to give this one to Huckabee because I think that would be too easy. How about this? Which one of the following...
He gave him a Ja Rule movie. He didn't even know the co-star. I could tell you who the co-star was and their on-screen kiss.
You got to keep it fair.
Okay, which one of the following has not guest starred on an episode of the Pure Flix sitcom Hitting the Brakes about, quote, a race car driver who, when pushed into retirement, moves his family into a small town full of the most lovable characters you will ever meet? Okay, which one of these A-listers did not guest star in an episode of Hitting the Brakes?
Not guest starred.
Has not. Only one of these has not. Prop comedian Carrot Top. Former NFL quarterback Tim Tebow. Reginald Vell Johnson, a.k.a. Carl Winslow. Or character actor Bob Balaban. Only one of them has not appeared on Hitting the Brakes.
I have a guess. I have a hunch. I don't know the answer. But
Tyler, I'm going, before we decide on the final answer, which one is, what are you thinking?
My hunch is Carrot Top.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with you and say Carrot Top.
I can't imagine Carrot Top.
That would be very strange.
Me neither.
I'm sorry. Carrot Top has in fact been on two episodes of Hitting the Brakes.
Wow.
Character actor Bob Balaban has gone nowhere near that show.
Oh gosh.
Bob Balaban's won an Academy Award. He's not doing Pure Flix, guys.
I was gonna say Bob Balaban. Dang it.
Okay.
Well, this is very embarrassing, Ty. I feel like you're not getting our best. It's 200. It's 2-1 here.
Ty, you could take a command.
He's mopping the floor.
You could take a commanding lead here. Okay, this is a little okay. All right, Ty. You're a longtime listener, so you may know the answer to this. But I had to bring up an old classic. It just fit too well.
Right.
Which one of these is an actual soap opera, not a fake one that appeared on our listicle? 8 Christian soap operas Pure Flix should make next that angered Pure Flix.
No.
Okay, so one of these is real. Okay, Another Life, a religious family navigates the world of Christian rock, organized crime, neighborhood gossip, and addiction, relying on faith. And of course, lots of televised prayer. That's Another Life. The Waiting Game. Purity pledges are put to the test when a singles ministry outing crash lands on an abandoned tropical island. 20 eligible singles, one exotic beach, no ordained wedding officiant in sight. That's called The Waiting Game. Okay. A Time to Love. Kevin Sorbo plays a widowed megachurch pastor caught in a social media firestorm after announcing a courtship to a recently converted pop star, Daphne Delafonte. Is their love real or a simply a play to get back to the top of the charts? Days of Our Lifeway. A Lifeway manager finds his new beautiful single employee secretly reading banned Rob Bell books. What will he do when forced to decide between his convictions and his heart? A tale of forbidden romance and forbidden theology. Finally, The Bold and the Bible School. Torrid tales of dress code violations, curfew breaking, and hand holding in the Bible Belt's most conservative Baptist seminary. Another Life, The Waiting Game, A time to Love, Days of Our Lifeway, or Bold in the Bible School. Ty, which one is real?
Well, I'm that was one of my favorite like short articles you guys put out this year. So that's where this gets fuzzy, because you spend so much time on the podcast making fun of real ones and made that article. So they're all jumbled around in my head. I would say that the singles island one is, I'm pretty sure that one's definitely a fake one from your article. And then Days of Our Life Way, I'm pretty sure is a fake one from your article. So I actually want to say, what was the first one again?
Another Life.
I want to say Another Life. Final answer.
Another Life is correct. It was a Christian sitcom that ran in the 80s. They had 875 episodes. I went out deep down on the Wikipedia page for some reason.
Wow, that's so many.
Ty, just getting to know you a little more. What would you do if you had enough money to not need a job?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I am a raging introvert, so I'd probably take my dog and my wife and buy a cabin in the mountains and live there forever.
See, this is unedited. They'll follow up on that. So, wow, you're an introvert, but you're in ministry. How does that work? Is it exhausting for you?
It's incredibly exhausting. After every time I teach or after a Wednesday night, I go home and my wife knows to kind of let me have my quiet time, because I'll be a real grumpy jerk otherwise.
Has that created any friction in your relationship?
Oh, of course not. We have a perfect marriage.
Interesting. All right. Next question, Jesse.
All right. Bianca,
Ty, if you want, or if you're getting tired right now, maybe you could just kind of, you know, give up.
The score is Ty Hill 2. The relevant podcast is 0.
All right, Bianca, how familiar are you with the God's Not Dead franchise?
A little. Actually, very little. Maybe not at all. Maybe I've never seen it.
Don't worry. I've seen a couple.
Okay. All right. You guys know the drill here. Which, there's only one of these is the actual name of a God's Not Dead movie. Okay. So here are your choices. Only one of these is real. God's Not Dead 2. Checkmate, atheist. God's Not Dead 3. A Light in the Darkness. God's Not Dead 3. This Time It's Personal. Or God's Not Dead 2. Revenge of the Fallen.
What's the last one? Revenge of the Fallen?
Revenge of the Fallen.
Only like zombies?
I know the answer.
Oh, wow, you do?
I do know the answer to this one. Yeah.
Is it 3, Tyler? The third one?
God's Not Dead 3. This Time It's Personal.
Which one is the real one, right? Yeah. We're asking which one is the real one. It's A Light in the Darkness.
You are correct. You guys are on the
board. Wow.
On the board.
Thank God.
All right. Yeah, so it now it's 2-1, but Ty can take a insurmountable lead, seemingly, with the next question.
Yeah. No, he'll win with this next question.
No, not necessarily.
Because
the last one might mean more.
You don't know. You don't know what round 4 is going to be.
Okay.
It ain't over till stay on the game, Bianca.
There you go. Come on, Tyler.
Win it all. Which is the actual name of a coming Christian movie that happens to star Jerry from the show Parks and Rec as a pastor in this film? Is it Heavens to Betsy, about a Christian author named Betsy balancing fame, faith, and family? Is it The Mustard Seed? So stupid. An atheist heir to a fortune being left by the founder of a popular mustard company must reconnect with his religious family to claim his inheritance. Stupid. Is it Crossover? Cross is capitalized. About a worship leader who must decide between staying at her church or pursuing mainstream stardom after winning a reality show singing competition. What would grandma do? A wacky, fish-out-of-water comedy about a sassy grandmother who goes back to Bible school to strengthen her faith and learn how to connect with her Gen Z grandson. Which one is Jerry Gergich actually in?
Oh, my gosh. Now, I don't think it's the cross one, because that's the second capitalized cross pun.
Yeah, but it might be the real one. It might be the real one. Because that sounds like a plausible PureFlix movie. And it's not about Jerry. It's about the worship leader's tension. And Jerry's just kind of like the wise pastor cameos. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the whole plausibility of she's struggling with like pursuing like the American Idol direction as a worship leader. I don't know, Ty.
Oh, man. I think I'm going to go with Mustard Seed because I can totally picture my dad giving me a call and recommending a movie like that to me. So we'll go with that one.
Mustard Seed is from The Sick Mind of Me. The correct answer is Heavens to Betsy, about a Christian author named Betsy.
Oh, my goodness.
This is going to be a showstopper.
Yeah.
All right. I hope everybody's still with us.
If anyone's interested in making that mustard movie, I will gladly.
It's a good one.
You can pick my brain. Okay, this is the final round, guys. So, Cameron, how's the score going to work here?
Right now, Tyler and Bianca have one, and Ty Hill has two. This final round is worth 3 points.
What? All right. That's you. Sorry, Ty. The turntables.
Okay. Relevant is corrupt.
Hey, you can still win it. Even if they get it, you still have an opportunity to win it.
All right.
Let's do it, Jess. Come on.
Bianca and Tyler, Stephen Baldwin, often referred to as our Daniel Day-Lewis, has starred in numerous Christian films. These are all actual films. Well, which one? So these are not, I made none of these up, but Stephen Baldwin not star. He's in all of these except for one. The least of these, The Grand Stain Stories, Unmiracle, which co-stars Kevin Sorbo, A Walk with Grace, about a widowed hotshot L.A. executive who must return to his hometown where he faces the daunting task of signing away his family factory, or Christian Mingle, the movie. These are all actual films. Stephen Baldwin is in three of them. Which one was he not in?
Wow.
Three of them?
Bianca,
have you seen Christian Mingle, the movie?
I have not.
Bianca, have you?
I have not, I want to say that was the one that I was leaning to him not being part of.
I'm just saying, you maybe could screen it at your singles event tomorrow morning.
Oh,
like
that's true.
Like right at 12.
After you hear the next question, you probably
then you're going to be my special guest of honor. So we scrap that plan.
I'm going to say
Christian Mingle.
You are correct. He is in all of those except for Christian Mingle.
Ooh, pressure's on.
Bianca.
4-2. Ty Hill, you can win it or lose it in this one question.
Come from behind. This could be its own Christian movie.
That's the story of my life. Come on. Come from behind. Used to be on bottom, now I'm top. Come on, move over, Drake.
Bianca's confident.
All right, Ty, this is for the game. No pressure. But speaking of Christian Mingle, the movie, which of these is not an actual review from Rotten Tomatoes? Christian Mingle is a spastic blurring of the line between infomercial and parody. Scathing.
Wow.
Boring, predictable, and slow. It will make you want to kiss dating goodbye all over again. or preachy faith-based rom-com is this preachy faith-based rom-com is for believers only. Which one of those is not from Rotten Tomatoes?
Man, I would have to say this is hard because I want number one to be real. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it is. There's so much riding on this.
Three, two, one.
Here we go.
One.
I'm sorry. The correct answer is boring, predictable, and slow. It will make you want to kiss, saying goodbye all over. Congratulations to Bianca and Tyler Huckabee. Ty, you have saved your whole family and the state of Indiana.
Yes. Oh, my God.
The come from behind champs.
Ty Hill, we appreciate you coming on. I know it took a lot out of you. You can go nap for a little while since you're not
Christian Mingle. I've been social enough for the week now.
All right, man. Thanks for playing.
Thanks, Ty.
You got it. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. That was
Screensaver.
Oh, congratulations, you two.
I'm so proud right now.
Feels good on top.
Yeah. Screensaver. Yep.
Very impressive.
I still think this could be its own. I think this could be its own.
Last name ever. Like a sprained ankle. We ain't nothing to play with. Tyler, I'm just going to high five you from here.
I'll take it.
From the best coast all the way to you, brother.
I accept it. I think this is going to be its own Pure Flix movie. I think the story of our unlikely rise in the podcast game, I think it's inspirational. I think it's pretty clean. It's like PG.
Yep.
You know, the young ears can handle
it. You know what? The title is Huckabee because it's Tyler Hucka, and then everyone calls me B. So yeah. Huckabee. Done.
Done. There you go.
I love it.
All right. Many thanks to Squarespace for making this episode possible. Remember, go to squarespace.com/relevant for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your site, use the offer code RELEVANT to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Many thanks to Erwin McManus for joining us. His book, The Way of the Warrior, is out now. Go check it out. Okay, on that note, I guess we'll wrap things up. This was a lot of fun, Bianca. You always take it up a notch. We love having you on.
Thank you guys for having me. It's always so much fun.
It's awesome. Super fun.
Okay, hey, and if you're in Southern California, tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.,
Come and meet Cameron. He will be there. Special guest.
Come and meet 449 women and one guy. All right. On that note, we'll wrap it. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Chandler Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
Tyler Huckabee.
I'm Bianca Watizoldoff.
We'll see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thank you for listening to The Relevant Podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to leave us a review on iTunes. Check out other shows from The Relevant Podcast Network in the podcast section at relevantmagazine.com. And while you're there, browse exclusive podcast merchandise at our online store. Make sure to subscribe to Relevant Magazine. Info is available at relevantmagazine.com/subscribe.
More of you and my... Now the ladies, all honor.
Relevant Podcast Network.